Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Sunday night. Welcome to another episode of Stunt Trek with Uncle Jim and the Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's snowing here, if you want to believe that.
Oh, man. You can have it all, Leslie. Last night, we went down to Lake George. And it was 64 degrees and raining, and we thought it was beautiful. Well, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
I was like, I don't even care if it's raining. It's just, it's a warm rain. It's not, I don't got frostbite. I can feel all my fingers and toes, and oh man, we got cabin fever, something fierce.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, and the amazing thing is, like, Lake George is about 90 minutes south of me, but that's the difference of an hour and a half.
It does. When you get up here in the Adirondack Mountains and the Green Mountain Ranges, yeah, you can go a half an hour and make all the difference in the world. So
yeah.
We have a great show planned for you guys tonight. Leslie and I were trying to come up with an idea, something to talk about tonight, and I was looking through Leslie's career, and I noticed that Leslie's done quite a few horror movies. So I thought, let's talk about horror movies and stunts in horror movies and some of the people that she's got to meet working on horror movies and just have some fun with some horror movies. So we're gonna be chatting about horror movies tonight. And since you're listening to the sound of my voice, and since it is Sunday night, between now and 8 p.m., we will be live. And that means you can call 646-668-2433 and talk to the Leslie Hoffman. Ask her anything you want about Nightmare on Elm Street, Hotel Hell, any of the movies that we're going to talk about tonight, and she'll be more than happy to answer your questions. 646-668-2433 is the number, and we will be here for the next hour, and we would love to hear from you. Really, we would. 646-668-2433. If you'd like to support a Stunt Trek, Comic Corner, or Trek Talking, head on over to patreon.com/trektalking. We have a lot of great tiers over there that you can help support these three shows that we do. One of them, for Stunt Treks particularly, you can get a personalized autograph, a nice 8x10 full color photo from Leslie, and she'll sign it to you. And she's got, I think, 5 or 6 different 8x10s to choose from. And we only have 2 of those available. So head on over there and make sure you get your hands on one of those, and you can support the show. If you do join us as a Stunt Trek patron, then you can pick a topic, and once a month you can come on Stunt Treks with the Leslie Hoffman and Uncle Jim and pick a topic that you want to talk about with Leslie. So not only do you get an autographed picture from Leslie, but you also get to come on the air and be a co-host with myself and Leslie. What more could you ask for? Is that not really cool? So head on over to patreon.com/trektalk and take a look at what we have to offer and consider being a patron. Once we reach 10 patrons, there's really great stuff in my Star Trek bag of giveaways, and we'll start announcing on the air for patrons to call now, and the first patron that calls when we make that announcement will win whatever it is we're giving away absolutely free. But you have to be in it if you want to win it. You got to be a patron. Any level doesn't matter. We have many to choose from. So head on over there, patreon.com/trektalkin, and see if there's anything that you feel comfortable with. We'd love to have you as a member of our family. If you're on Facebook, we also have a patrons-only chat room where Leslie and myself, my other co-hosts from my other various podcasts, and all of you guys that are patrons are all invited into a private chat with us where you can chat with us about the shows, what you'd like to see, you know, whatever. It's just a place where we can all hang out and talk together. So check that out. We'd love to have you as a member of our family. Also, I wanted to bring up that this is TBI Awareness Month, Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. And the reason why I bring this up is because Leslie has had several injuries. And due to this, because of her stunt work, similar to what football players get when they get hit in the head repeatedly, even though they're wearing helmets, a lot of disabilities can be caused. Stunt people suffer from this all the time. So I just wanted to make people aware of that. So, you know, you can head over there to TBI Awareness and help them out if you can. We would appreciate it, and Leslie would appreciate it as well. I also want to mention right now that we're not getting paid to do this show, which is why I'm asking for you guys to help us out if you can, because we just, you know, we do the show because we love doing these shows, and we pay for pretty much everything out of my pocket. I pay for the phone line, I pay for the internet service, I pay for all of it out of my pocket. Nobody's getting rich, nobody's making any money. This is episode, 277, 280. I've been doing this for about 4 years now. So, you know, we need your help to keep things going and add more great shows. We've added Comic Corner, which is going to be tomorrow. We've added Stunt Treks with the Leslie Hoffman, which you're listening to right now, and we still do Trek Talking. So we're always looking to add more shows, and we need your help to do it. And as a patron, we offer you all kinds of great stuff, and that's why. So no one's making money, no one's getting rich, but we are trying to provide you guys, the fans, with something great, something unique, and something fun. And the way we do that is by giving you the opportunity to chat with us in our patrons-only chat that we have on Facebook. And we also have a Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization, and Trek Talking. And you can go there and chat with us, you know, one-on-one, take place in all of our polls. You can also call 646-668-2433 and talk to us live at any time, during showtime, that is. And that's something that a lot of podcasts just don't have to offer. They're pre-recorded, pre-edited, and what you hear isn't necessarily what happened. Well, that's not the case with Stunt Trek, Comic Corner, and Trek Talking. We record live, and whether you're listening to it right now on Sunday night, or whether you listen to it on Tuesday, or whether you're listening to it in Australia or Germany or the UK, we're live. There's no editing. You know, this is like Memorex. Is it live or is it Memorex? You'll never know. We don't edit. Nothing's cut out. Nothing's changed. And nothing is you know, edited out. So that's something that we provide for you guys as the fans. So what do you say, Leslie, that we jump right in and start talking about some horror movies?
Sounds good to me. Actually, it was kind of interesting to go back. I use the IMDb a lot because I don't remember all the shows I was in. And you start reading, you know, television shows or movie credits, and you go, what was this? What was this show about? I don't even remember what I did on it. So there were some titles that I'm going, you know, there were some titles on there that I'm going, now, was this a horror one? Or, you know, I'm not clear on the title. What what the storyline was.
Well, we're going to have some fun anyways, and we do know one that everybody's going to recognize and that everybody's going to know you for, and we're going to save the best for last. So you guys, if you don't already know, if you haven't visited the page, if you've never heard us talk about it before, shame on you. Where have you been? But we're going to talk about probably the biggest, the best, the most iconic figure in horror history. Leslie got to be that person, and we're going to get to that, but we're going to make you wait. But first, we have a caller. You want to talk to one of our fans, Leslie?
Yeah.
Let's see who we get here on the line. Hello, thank you for calling Trek Talking. I'm sorry. I'm so used to saying that. I apologize. Thank you for calling Stunt Trek with Uncle Jim and the Leslie Hoffman. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
My name is Paul Grimard, and I'm calling from Au Sable. Just want to say hi, Leslie,
hey.
And ask when she's coming down for another barbecue. And what was it like to work with the great Wes Craven?
Oh, he was absolutely the best director to work with. I actually worked with him on three movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, then Deadly Friends, and then Scream 2. And, you know, I don't know if people kind of think that a director, you know, if it's a comedy, that the director is also going to be a funny person. If it's a horror, the director might be a little tougher to work with. Wes was absolutely the most wonderful man to work with. I mean, he would come up to me and you know, a hello or after you did a scene, that was very good. Or, I appreciate this. On Facebook, our clips of Scream 2 where the whole stage is falling on top of me, you know, the lights are coming down, the pillars coming down, the walls coming down, and Wes just came up to me afterwards and said, you know, that's a wonderful job, great job. I can't believe he's gone. I mean, you lose these people and you go, wait a minute, how did that ever happen? But, well, I was going to get to it later in the show, but still, it was like when I did Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes, I didn't have a script, but Wes came up to me and he would say, okay, she's going to run around the corner, she's going to bump into you, you're going to fall down. I want you to say, where's your pass? You know, I mean, he didn't give me any direction on, like, scream it or whatever. You know, he just, this is the line I want you to say, you know, and we did that. And then this is what I just really love about him is that, you know, so then we're doing the iconic hallway scene. And he says, Leslie, he's like remorseful, he's sad. You know, Leslie, I just want to tell you that your voice is not going to be heard in the film, but I need you to say, hey, Nancy, no running in the hallway, and then, you know, do a little laugh, because Robert Englund, you know, is going to be dubbing in his voice. But like I say, he was like apologizing that my voice wasn't going to be in the film, or at least in that scene. Anyways, like I say, then on Deadly Friends, I mean, he knew me from Nightmare on Elm Street, and you know, he remembered me.
Well, since we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street right off the bat, why don't we dive right into it and start right off the bat with Nightmare on Elm Street, since this seems to be where we're going. What do you say, Leslie?
We can do that. Also, is our caller still on the line? Because I'd like to send him a 4x6 postcard of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolutely. He's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Leslie.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to give Jim your address after the show, I'll mail you out a postcard.
All right, no problem. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, just go to our Facebook page and shoot me a message, and we'll make that happen.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good luck, Leslie.
Thank you.
So Nightmare on Elm Street is probably the most iconic horror movie that's ever hit the screen. And I have a clip to play, which I'm trying to find, which why can't I find it? Because I have so many clips, that's why, because I do so many different shows. But as soon as I find it, I am going to play a clip for you guys. Come on, where is it? I feel like I have tons. There it is. So here is a clip from Nightmare on Elm Street. This is called Hall Pass, and this is the scene where Nancy falls asleep in the classroom. There's a student standing up there rereading Shakespeare, and he starts going in slow motion. Nancy looks over and sees her friend's body standing in the hallway, fall down and get dragged down the hallway. Nancy gets up, follows the blood trail out into the hallway, where she runs into a very familiar face. So that sets up the scene. But here it is as it appeared in Nightmare on Elm Street. After we get back from listening to this, we're going to take a quick station identification break, and then we're going to have Leslie tell us all about it.
Oh, my arm!
What is seen is not always what is real. According to Shakespeare, there was something operating in nature, perhaps inside human nature itself, that was rotten. A canker, as he put it. Now, of course, Hamlet's response to this and to his mother's lies was to continually probe and dig, just like the grave diggers, always trying to get beneath the surface. The same is true in a different way in Julius Caesar. John, will you go ahead, please?
In the most high and palmy state of Rome, a little ere the mightiest Julius fell, the grave stood tenantless, and the sheeted dead did squeak and gibber in the Roman streets. As stars with trains of fire and dews of blood, disasters in the sun and the moist air, upon his influence Neptune's empire stands.
And call myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams.
Okay, we have to take a quick station identification break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Leslie about that scene. Don't touch a dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this very brief, very important message.
Hi, this is Eric from Trek Talking, here to invite you to join us for the best science fiction themed podcast on the internet. Our elite team of Trek-sperts are here to discuss Star Trek and related sci-fi content, and we want to hear from you. Call into the show Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast, and we'll get you on the air to share your opinions. We have faith that you'll call.
And we're back. So, Leslie, we already talked a little bit about Wes Craven, but in that particular scene, you got to wear the whole Freddy getup. Did you actually get to wear the iconic Freddy Krueger glove?
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, there was only one glove. So, yes, the glove I was wearing was the same one that Robert Englund wore. And then it somehow disappeared between the original Nightmare on Elm Street and the second one. So, that I wore the original glove.
You told me about the actual, you actually wore the actual sweater as well.
No, it wasn't that I wore the actual sweater. It's that the original sweater, the original Nightmare on Elm Street sweater, had green and red stripes in the body of the sweater, but the sleeves were solid red. If you go back and you watch the movie, you'll see that. And I don't know where they got those shirts or those sweaters from, but when they went to make the second Nightmare on Elm Street, they couldn't find that particular style anymore. So they were able to find red and green sweaters, striped sweaters, but the stripes were now on the sleeves. So all the Nightmare on Elm Street sweaters after the original has stripes on the sleeves. And well, the story I was telling you was I was showing Kane Hodder a picture. I mean, it was a screen capture, you know, it's from the movie of me with the claws, and he goes, you know, nice setup or you know, I forgot what he called it. But in other words, basically he said it's a fake picture. Nice fake picture. And I'm going, this is a screen capture. This is from the movie. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Why are you saying it's not from the movie? Well, because your sleeves aren't striped. So I had to go back and look at the, well, I say I already knew that it was a screen capture, but I went back and looked at the actual, well, or watched the whole movie again, and sure enough, the way you can tell the original Nightmare on Elm Street is we have solid red sleeves.
And for people that are listening that might not know who Kane Hodder is, I know who he is. I met him at a convention. He's a big guy. He's a great guy, but he's well known for playing another very iconic horror murderer who actually went head to head with Freddy later on. And who might that be, Leslie?
Uh-oh. You're asking the wrong person. I can never remember. I can never remember if he's Jason or if he's Michael Myers. I always get the two of them mixed up.
Yep, he played Jason Voorhees.
Oh, okay, he was Jason. Okay. Yeah, in a lot of the movies. I mean, there were different Jasons. But once they found Kane, he sort of became the regular. I don't know if he still is, but he definitely did a bunch of the movies.
I know when I saw him, they didn't hire him to play Jason in Jason versus Freddy, and he was all excited and ready to do it, and they hired somebody else to play him in that particular movie. So he wasn't happy that he didn't get to battle Freddy, but he did get to meet you, so that's pretty close, because you kind of were Freddy.
Well, actually, he went to the same stunt gym that I was at, the Santa Monica gym where Dennis Madalone, Tom Morgan, myself, Kane was at that gym. But I say that a lot of stunt people came out of that gym that And it was the first of its kind. I mean, actually, stunt people, the veteran stunt people were very much against that this stuntman named Paul Stader decided to have a stunt gym to train young people because they wanted to bring in, I guess, their sons and daughters or buddies or whatever, and the idea of a non-related stunt person coming into the business was actually frowned upon. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, well, if anyone says that they're from Paul Stager's gym, don't hire them. Anyways, back to, so that's actually where I knew Kane from.
Oh, so
but
you
then,
didn't run into him at a horror convention.
What's that?
You didn't run into him at a horror convention?
Oh, no. No, I was at his house.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
He never got to wear Freddy's
yeah.
gloves, so.
Yeah, I should have gone over there with the glove. What do you mean? This is a real shot. No, like I say, I knew Kane back in, it would have been like 1975, 76. That's how long I've known Kane Hodder. I mean, that's pre-Jason.
Now, I ran into you at some convention some time ago, and I remember that you had a Freddy Krueger glove on your table. So that obviously isn't the original one because the original one disappeared, right?
The original one has disappeared. Rumors are that, you know, somebody in the crew has it, or other rumors is it just vanished and no one knows where it is. But there is a company called Nightmare Gloves, and this guy, he has studied. I didn't even realize this. Well, I do because I've looked at the page now. Is each glove is slightly different from movie to movie. I don't know, like, if there's bones on one glove. Like I said, you'd have to be a Nightmare on Elm Street aficionado to know which claw glove is from what movie. But he actually reproduction of these gloves, and he gave me the glove that would have been the kind that I was wearing on original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Actually.
Yeah, so. And like I say, yeah, you can't beat these nightmare gloves. I mean, he does other things as well, but boy, if you want a Nightmare on Elm Street glove and whatever particular movie this is, that's the company you should get in touch with.
Now, in the movie, Leslie, when Nancy runs into you, when you say your famous line. And then she runs away. You turn around with the glove, and then you say, "No running in the hallway." That's overdubbed. That line is overdubbed by Freddie. But did you ever get a chance to meet Robert Englund when you were doing that scene, or did they do that in the studio at a later date?
This is really funny because now it's the opposite of what you were just asking about with Kane. Is I didn't get to meet Robert Englund until I was doing a horror convention and he was there, and you know, I introduced myself and explained the scene that I was in, and well, we were doing a Q&A, so we were actually in front of the audience, and he was talking about how he remembered, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of these old movies where they show how people dub a voice in, but, you know, they ran the clip. He's in a sound room with these headsets on. They're showing him, you know, let's say they show him the scene. So he sees me, he sees the way I'm saying the line. then they back it up and they start recording him. And he now says the line that, you know, he's going to dub in over my mouth moving. And that's how it's done. And if we filmed the movie in Los Angeles, but he happened to be in New York, so they had to do the dubbing in New York. It was a sound studio, like I say, in New York as opposed to Los Angeles.
So what did you think about Robert when you finally got a chance to meet him at a convention?
You know, it's just like with Wes Craven or like you say, where you think a funny person is going to be nice and funny in person, and they could be the total opposite. And here you have Robert Englund, you know, being Freddy Krueger. He is the sweetest guy in the world. I've actually met him at a couple of horror conventions, and he loves the fans, and he's just a really wonderful gentleman, polite. I've never heard anything bad about him.
He is definitely a great guy. When I met him, everybody was there getting Freddy Krueger gloves signed and whatnot. And of course, my wife Karen had a Nightmare on Elm Street poster to get signed. But I didn't want to talk to him about Nightmare on Elm Street, because he was in another one of my favorite early 80s TV shows / movies called V, and he played Willie in V. And I started talking to him about V, and he spent about 20 minutes telling me all about V and this and that and how they did it and what they wanted to do and how his character was and how it was supposed to end and how it didn't end. And he just, you know, I was totally thrilled that he actually was going to talk to me about V when everyone else was there with their Freddy Krueger gloves. And here I am talking about some old, barely remembered sci-fi series from the 80s. And he remembered it vividly. I was like, wow. I was impressed. Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Nothing like
you
would think from a mass murderer in the movies. But
yeah,
I mean
exactly. That's my point, is that you have a perception of somebody because of a role they've played, and like you say, and your perception could be 100% wrong. I mean, again, this could be maybe the character that somebody's played is just this really nice character, and he could be a real pain in the, you know, or he or she could be a real pain in the, you know what, or somebody that plays a really nasty villain turns out to be the nicest person in the world.
You never know.
Yeah.
So.
Right. You can't go by a television show or a movie.
I'm looking through the list of all the horror movies that you've done. And since we're talking about Wes Craven and Nightmare on Elm Street, I noticed that you were in Scream 2 as well. And you put a clip on the Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization fan club page, from Scream 2. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, well, that was, well, I don't know how much I should really tell you, because it's sort of the end of the movie. I mean, I would think anyone who has watched Scream, or probably has watched Scream 2, but, you know, it's the climax of the movie. It's where they discover, well, I doubled Laurie Metcalf, and she's trying to kill, you know, I'm losing names now, but she's trying to kill the I guess you would call her the heroine of the movie. And I mean, first off, the other girl hits Laurie in the head with a beer bottle, and then she starts cutting these ropes. They're on a theatrical stage, and she starts cutting all these ropes on the stage, and it's dropping lights down on me, and or like a pillar comes over on top of me, or I start climbing up this fake wall and the wall comes tumbling down on me, and then we also have a knife fight. I mean, it was a day of just jumping out of the way and hoping that you weren't going to get hit for real.
Now, Leslie, is there any difference when people see when we see you in Star Trek or Airplane or any of the other movies or 1941, you've done everything. And then you see a horror movie like Nightmare on Elm Street or Scream, for instance. Is there any difference between acting in one of and doing stunts in, say, Scream versus like 1941, which is a comedy, or does it really not matter?
Well, you know, this brings up an interesting point. To me, I'll make two comparisons. In order to do comedy, you have to be a dramatic actor. You have to be as straight as possible to actually make the scene funny. And I'll take a good example of like Airplane or Naked Gun. Leslie Nielsen started out as a dramatic actor. He was the manly hero in a bunch of movies before Airplane ever came along or Naked Gun. And why he is so funny is he delivers the lines straight. He doesn't deliver them, you know, kooky or anything. He's so serious when he says these things that it's just so outrageous that you have to laugh. And another thing, sort of comparison, is that, you know, there are movies where you see someone who supposedly can't skate or supposedly can't dance or do ballet or something like that. You actually have to be such a professional. You have to be so good at that, be so bad at it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But like doing stunts, doing stunts is that, let's say you could have the same exact stair fall in a comedy or in a drama, and depending on how the story plays out, it could be the exact same stair fall, and people would be either laughing at it or they would be horrified. But it depends on the story, not necessarily the stunt. I mean, again, unless the script called for it, if you did a really goofy stair fall, that's what it's going to look like, is a really goofy stair fall. Now, if the person, I feel like I'm over describing it, is that, you know, it will fit into the scene perfectly if you just do the stunt.
It doesn't really matter to you whether Freddy's chasing after you with a knife with his finger claws or whether Leslie Nielsen is throwing grapes at you and you have to fall down. It doesn't really make any difference what's going on as long as you perform the stunt as instructed.
Not real. Yeah, I mean, it was like, something that just came to mind is that there was a television show called Rags to Riches. And these girls are in the kitchen, and suddenly, instead of washing the dishes, they're spraying each other with water. And I was doubling. I don't know if she was the head of an orphan or if she was a teacher, but I had to come into the room and slip on the water and fall flat on my back. And I couldn't go. Let's say so it's a comedy show. I mean, in other words, to make the scene work, I shouldn't go skipping into the room going la 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 and slip and fall because it was a funny show. I mean, I had to go into the room angry at the girls, serious that, you know, stop what you're doing and slip and fall And like I say, that's what made it funny.
And we're going to take a quick station identification break. Don't touch your dials. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk with Leslie about another movie that she did, which I believe was another Wes Craven film called Deadly Friend. Don't touch your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Chris from Trek Talking and Beyond, here to invite you to join us for the best science fiction-themed podcast on the Internet. Our elite team of Trexperts are here to discuss Star Trek and other sci-fi related content, and we want to hear from you. Dial 646-668-2433 on Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. on East Coast time. Hailing frequencies are always open, and we'll get you on the air to share your opinions. We have faith you will call.
And we're back. You know, Leslie, we should have you record one of those little station identification promos for this show so we can play that on our other shows. So Deadly Friend, I believe that was Wes Craven as well, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was I stunt doubled Anne Ramsey. She's more well known for, again, I don't know the character's name, but she was in Goonies. I don't know. Have you ever seen Goonies? I mean, again, long time ago.
Oh, 1985, classic. Yes, I've seen it many, many times.
Okay, so I had to go back. You're asking me to go back like 30-plus years to look at these horror shows and try to remember what I was doing in it or why. So what Deadly Friends was, if I remember correctly, is this girl gets killed and this guy brings her back to life. Now she's murdering people, and so she throws a basketball at Anne Ramsey's head. And why they wanted me there, I don't know, but that's actually the part that I did. But then what they did is, you know, they put a dummy there with some kind of exploding head that, you know, when the basketball actually hit the head, it just explodes all over the place. But
so that
was
really
a
wasn't
nice
your
person.
That really wasn't your head that exploded? Oh, man. You ruined the whole movie for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Wrapping up Wes Craven and Nightmare on Elm Street, I've been written up in several books about Nightmare on Elm Street, and there's been at least two documentaries of where they've interviewed me about being on Nightmare on Elm Street. And this was a low-budget film. Again, you got to remember, this was a really low-budget film. I mean, I never thought this one was going to go anywhere, and this is probably one of the most iconic movies, or it's the movie that people will probably remember me for.
And one of the documentaries you're talking about, I happen to have on my shelf, and it's called Return to Elm Street, Never Sleep Again. The Elm Street Legacy, and I think it's about 3 or 3.5 hours long. It's a long, long documentary that starts with the original Nightmare on Elm Street and goes through all the movies. I don't know if it goes up to Jason versus Freddy or not. I haven't watched it in quite a while, but it covers all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I'll have to go back and watch it and see if they interviewed you in that documentary.
Yeah, they interviewed me, and actually, I don't know if it's in the bonus area or something like that, is Sean Clark, who happens to be my agent, but also deals with Nightmare on Elm Street, or he's an aficionado. We did the scene from Nightmare on Elm Street, and he's kind of playing Nancy. So I'll let you look in the extras or see if that's in this DVD that you have.
I'll have to find it. I'll make a copy of it for you so you can have it and watch it. So we have another caller on the line. You want to talk to another fan, Leslie?
Sure.
Let's see who we have here. If the phone will answer. Come on, there we go. Good evening. Thank you for calling Stunt Trek. I got it right this time. Well, what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hey, guys. It's once again, it's Dave. Just calling
hey,
to see
Dave.
How
you what's up? Dave,
I know it's
Dave
only
one of our newest,
it's okay, though.
He's one of our newest patrons, so he's helping us out. We really appreciate that, Dave. It's really important to us that fans help us out, and it really means a lot to us. So thank you very much.
I'm glad I can help. I'm listening and, calling in. So it's like, hey, they can use more than just one call. So I'm going to call again.
And we're glad that you did. You must have us on speed dial.
Actually, I do have you guys on speed dial. But
so,
I'm really enjoying the show, and I just came on to tell everybody, be a patron. These guys are awesome. Support them, guys.
Well, thank you, David. And don't forget, we're going to be on Comic Corner tomorrow. From 7:30 to 8:30, and Thursday night we're going to be doing Trek Talking from 7:30 to 9:30. That's a two-hour show, so you guys can, well, you too, David, can call and share your thoughts on Star Trek. We're going to be talking about the new Twilight Zone, which is going to be on CBS All Access as well. So you guys can check that out and join us if you like. So that'll be cool. 646-668-2433 is the number. Give us a call and say hello. So, David, did you have a question you wanted to ask Leslie?
No, I just called in just to call in. I just really enjoyed this show. I haven't really watched that many horror movies because they kind of freak me out, but I have watched Nightmare on Elm Street. so it's been a while. I'm like, wow, I may have to go rent that again, and so I can remember, because I main one I remember is the Dream Warriors, which was like the second one, but I remember the first one too. So it's been a while.
So David, let me ask you a trick question. What's your favorite scene in A Nightmare on Elm Street? No pressure.
Well, I kind of the one with Dee Leslie Hoffman in.
Well, of course.
that's the thing when I remember some other ones, but that's the one that sticks in my mind the most.
And you know what? Let's put Leslie on the spot right now. We heard the clip I played earlier, which is right out of the movie. But let's put Leslie on the spot right now, Leslie. Can you give us that line from the movie?
Where's your pass? And then she goes, "Where's your pass?"
I love it.
Hey, Nancy, no running in the hallway.
There you go, David. You heard it live right here from B. Leslie Hoffman.
And Uncle Jim.
I'm glad that you called, though.
We have to capitalize that, too. Uncle Jim. We have to capitalize all of that, too.
Well, no, I'm nothing like V. Leslie Hoffman, but... Anyways. Thank you very much for calling,
Dave.
Have a
great time.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Steve.
Bye.
Well, Leslie, what do you think? Two callers in one show. That's pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got faked out. That first person, I thought I heard him say Los Angeles, and I heard him say barbecue, but it turns out that it's my friend Paul from Sable Parks. But like I said, I don't know what he said about Los Angeles, so that's what threw me. He lives
that's
about
pretty cool.
15-20 minutes away from me.
Oh, so he's getting snow, too. So I just wanted to, before we run out of time and that nice lady comes on and tells us that we have to go, I just wanted to run down. I mentioned to everybody that you've done a lot of horror movies, and I just wanted to go through a quick list of what you've done. and see if there was anything you wanted to mention in particular, if you had a particular memory about that particular movie. The first one that we have is a more movie called Dead Above Ground.
Now, Dead Above Ground was Stephen Cannell, and the director was Chuck Bowman. And Bowman should sound familiar because he's the father of Rob Bowman, who did a bunch of the Next Generation Star Trek episodes.
That is an awesome tie-in. That really is. And believe it or not, Leslie, there's another fan on the line that wants to talk to the Leslie Hoffman.
Wow. We should have had a horror show instead of a Star Trek show.
It must have been the Nightmare on Elm Street line. Let's see who we have here, if I can get the thing to work. Here we go. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Stunt Trek tonight. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Well, my name is Jim, and I'm calling from Massachusetts. And I couldn't let
How
Paul
you doing
get
tonight,
along.
Jim?
I'm doing good. I couldn't let Paul get along saying hi to Leslie without me saying hi, too, since I was there when she was called the doormat of Star Trek. How you doing,
Jim.
Leslie?
Jim,
how you doing?
Reunion day. Yes. Okay. So, well, we might as well tie in the whole Star Trek thing. Is actually a friend of Jim Lau's had what was the show? It wasn't Ellen. It was some other show, wasn't it?
It was the Lisa Gibbons show.
This friend had called in, and I guess they were saying, you know, Jim is an avid Star Trek person. This show was being filmed at Paramount. So they had him come on the show with another friend. They flew him out from New York. And I kind of guessed what was going to happen. But they go on this talk show, and they said, well, we're going to have you be extras on a Star Trek episode. So I actually kind of babysat Jim and Cynthia while they were working on the set as extras. And what he's talking about is I was introducing them to the production manager, who is BBC, and I forget how it gets said, is that, You know me. She says, yes, you're the doormat of Star Trek or something.
So
that's pretty cool.
Anyway, great show. I haven't caught it until tonight, but I couldn't let Paul, you know, call in and me not call in as well. Because that barbecue was fun. We got to do it again.
Well, I said Jim and Paul and I were at the same barbecue that Paul was talking about.
Well, we'll have to have our own barbecue this summer, Leslie. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, yeah, it sounds good. Well, actually, I'll probably, no, Jim would be a little south of you, is, you're both Jims.
That doesn't matter.
Andrew is in Vermont and Jim Lau is in Massachusetts, but you're both, you guys probably are like an hour apart from each other.
Yeah, we're close enough. We can all catch you, Leslie.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for your time, guys. Have a good show.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for calling. Good night. You know, everybody could always meet up at Trek Conderoga, Leslie. We could have a Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization gathering up at Trek Conderoga.
Jim and his friend Chris, maybe they'd like playing the Star Trek game at that the comic shop that you. Yeah, like I say, I'd love to come and see it just to see how you do this game. I've never seen it done before.
Oh, we're working on it. We're going to make that happen. So we got less than 5 minutes left. I want to run down a list here. If anybody is listening and wants to check out some of Leslie's horror movies, we've already covered Nightmare on Elm Street, so we're not going to do that. A Dead Above Ground, A Polish Vampire in Burbank, Motel
Hell. Well, okay, the Polish Vampire in Burbank, I had to fall into the swimming pool. I was wearing a long dress, and I didn't realize that when you're in the pool with a long dress and you're trying to swim, you can't swim because you're kicking your legs and you're really not treading water. So that was fun. Motel Hell, I was supposed to drown the pretty girl. And the thing was, it was so cold that day, and also I was wearing a fat suit. Is again, I was worried that the fat suit would absorb the water and just take me right under. But like I said, I'm wearing a wetsuit, except then they tell me I have to duck underwater too. Well, if you're wearing a wetsuit, you can't duck underwater. Well, real quick, the other thing, I mean, this one was bad. I mean, the stunt girl that I was trying to drown is getting hypothermia. And I'm refusing to duck her under the water, and people are screaming from the shore, you know, duck her under the water. And she can't breathe. I finally call for a boat to come in or come out and get us. And the stunt coordinator takes me aside, and he says to me, "She signed a contract. You should have drowned her." And I'll just stop there with that one. Deadly Games was a television show. And actually, that was the second time that I worked with Christopher Lloyd. I worked with him on Clue. Devil Dogs, Hound of Hell, that's a clip that's on Facebook. And I was my own stunt coordinator, and my arm caught on fire. And it was such a cute little German Shepherd puppy. I don't know why he was such a devil. And then the car... Ronnie Cox was in the movie Deliverance, and when they find his body in the river, his arm is over the top of his head, and it looks disjointed. Ronnie Cox is really double-jointed, and while we were on the car, he puts his arm over his head. I mean, it was just the oddest thing to see. It was, you know, but the scene was that a high school student were leading horses down the racetrack, but they didn't tell us that they were going to turn on this wind machine. Now, horses do not like to run over people, but with the wind and the dirt coming up from the racetrack, the horses couldn't see us. So one horse ran straight into a stuntman, just trampled over the top of him. Luckily, he didn't get hurt. But the horse was wearing a saddle, and the stirrup hit my shoulder and spun me around, and I didn't know how many horses were behind this horse, and all I could do was cover up my head and just kind of wait for the trampling to stop or the, you know, all the noise to stop, and luckily I didn't get trampled.
Thank God for that.
And that kind of, what's that? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, we're out of time. That pretty lady is telling us that we have to go.
Uh-oh.
So that was a full – can you believe that? Wow. We had a bunch of callers. We had a lot of fun. So anyways, you guys can listen to Leslie on Trek Talking Thursday night. We're going to be talking about Star Trek Discovery and the brand-new Twilight Zone series. And you can also catch – myself on Comic Corner tomorrow night. And Leslie, thank you for sharing some time with us, and have a really, really good night.
You too. Thank you, Jim.
And we're going to end the show, instead of with usual, we're going to end the show with her line from Nightmare on Elm Street just one last time, because it's so damn good. Make sure you tune in next week for a whole new episode of Stunt Trek. Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.